friends, Ephesians 6 says, therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. And guys, you know, there's going to be struggles that we face, there's going to be challenges and difficulties, but we now claim God's faithfulness, that through it all, we are still standing. And in just this moment, friends, can I ask you, I'm going to be quiet. If you're facing a struggle or a difficulty and you're wondering how you're going to get through it, I want you to call to mind God's faithfulness. Think about a time in the past when you were facing difficulty and you're here now, you're still standing. Call that to mind now. Father God, we are witnesses of your faithfulness. You have been there for us in the past, and you will be there for us again in the future. And so it is with confidence, Lord God, that we know that nothing that stands before us can bring us down with you on our side. And so we thank you for your presence, we thank you for your power, and we thank you so much, Lord God, for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please have a seat, a very warm welcome. Thank you, Will and the band. Always great to hear them. And gosh, isn't it glorious to have some sunshine? They say that the sun shines on the righteous, but I can see it's on Ollie, so there's something a little bit wonky about that. I hope that was encouraging. It was just a word that came to me, Ollie. I think I better shut up and turn over to Jeremy.
And I can't match that, but thank you very much for handing over to me. James, yeah. I'm so sorry, I had these mental blocks that come with age. May I read you a few verses from Acts chapter 1 on page 1031 in the Church Bibles. Acts chapter 1 on page 1031. Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Every so often, I find myself totally surprised by the opportunities that the Lord Jesus Christ gives me to talk about him, to pray for him, to share my faith, to do a whole series of things. And over the last 5 or 6 days, I've had the most unexpected discussions about my Christian faith with the most unexpected people, all of whom I knew, all of whom I've been wanting to talk about Jesus to for a long time, but the opportunity has never arisen. And then, just like number 11 buses, they all come at the same time. I'd been down in Cornwall with a group of people who worked from the city at a conference over a long weekend from Friday to Monday, which was great. The person organizing the conference had sent out a general email a week last Monday, which said that the vicar will be with us. He's promised to talk to his boss to ensure we have fantastic weather. I thought, gosh, the pressure is on before I've even got there. I arrived at Falmouth at 4:30 on the Friday afternoon. The weather was awful. The wind was blowing, the sky was grey, the rain was pouring down. I got to the hotel, and the first person who met me said, it was the organizer, who said, well, he said, the results aren't good at the moment, are they? So I said, just wait and see, feeling slightly more confidence than I felt internally when I thought, I'm not going to let him know that I'm feeling slightly jittery about this challenge he's given me. Anyway, all went well, went down for supper and sat, you know, relaxed. Well, had a drink and went down to supper. Well, had a drink and went through to supper. You know the way things are at these conferences, you all know. And sat down at the table and just drawing towards me this rather delicious-looking glass of chilled white wine, when the person next door to me said, so do you really believe that God answers prayer and is interested in the weather we have this weekend? So I thought, oh, bother. So pushed the white wine away and went for the water because I thought, Lord Jesus, this is you giving me this opportunity. Anyway, we spent quite a lot of supper discussing, you know, prayer and everything like that. Went to bed totally sober. And then the following morning, breakfast was all right because, of course, there's only coffee. And lunchtime, I sat down, pulled towards me a glass of red wine. And this bloke next to me, I've seen him so often over the years, round here, said to me, ah, he said, I've wanted to talk to you about science and religion for a long time. How do you reconcile a belief in God with the advances of science? What about the age of the earth and evolution? So away went the red wine, and towards me came on. And every meal we had, apart from breakfast, where I looked grumpy and sat behind the Times, I had a discussion with the most unlikely people about Jesus Christ. I came back thinking, Lord, I'm going to trust you and expect so much more from you in the future. Anyway, Tuesday evening, I'd say grace at a dinner not far from here and thought, aha! No one here has ever talked about God, sat down, pulled towards me with the fish course, glass of rather good wine, and thought, just waited for this these last few days. And the man next door to me said, do you know, he said, I must tell you, I'm buying each of my two children a flat. I think I ought to be generous. Is generosity something we can expect from God? And my instinctive reaction was, have you enough money for a third, for a retired vicar? But I thought that would be pushing it for a bit. And I said, yes, actually, I do have. God is extraordinary. So I said, and the most, you know, I rabbited on in the way vicars do, and eventually got round to Jesus and the cross, and he was riveted because, you know, he'd been to church three times in his life, as he told me later. No one had ever talked to him like that. Now, he's been polite, of course, but clear. I thought, this is extraordinary, Lord Jesus. This is a total surprise. You know, I spend my time preaching to people, expecting things, and now you just surprise me totally. And in the hours and days after the ascension of Jesus into the heavens, there must have been many surprises for those who were among his closest friends. And perhaps the biggest surprise to them and to us were those who were there, who were part of that group we read about in verse 14. There were, of course, his closest friends, the 11 disciples, his mother, the women who'd been practically supportive and extraordinarily faithful in the difficult times over the previous 3 years. But at the end of that verse, we see a passing reference to the Lord Jesus' brothers. And that is an extraordinary surprise. Their relationship with him over the previous 3 years had been complicated, to say the least. Mark in his gospel and John in his had variously described them at different times as thinking of Jesus as either mad or demon-possessed, an embarrassment to his family. They had no faith in his claims, were skeptical about what other people said about him. Clearly, at one point, too, they thought he should just come home, get a proper job, perhaps work in the family business. Must have been quite difficult, actually, for them. They'd grown up with him, they played around with him, they chatted away over supper with him, and then suddenly he appears to be the Son of God. It's rather difficult to cope with, I imagine, in any family. But given all that, it's amazing to have seen them there in the days after the ascension. can't help thinking what on earth could have happened from those low points in their relationship. We get a clue, of course, in the Apostle Paul's first letter to the Corinthian Christians. He records how, at one point after the resurrection, as well as appearing to lots of different people among his disciples, Jesus appeared to his brother James. He'd then gone north and appeared to 500 people in the north of Israel, in Galilee. Probably there he'd met the other brothers. Unsurprisingly, James had begun to believe all that the Lord Jesus Christ had been saying about himself over the previous 3 years, become a committed member of the Christian community. And the other brothers, Joseph, Jude, and Simon, had quickly followed suit after their encounter in Galilee. In spite of their attitudes, in spite of all they'd said, in spite of their disbelief, Jesus had refused to give up on them, had worked to convince them, had gone the extra mile with them. What had happened to those men should shape our expectations of him today. For whatever the level of our faith at any particular moment, he remains totally committed to us. When we have bad days, find it hard to trust him with all that's going on, when we're put on the spot, feel awkward about being a Christian, when we realize that because life's complicated, we've sidelined him, he doesn't give up on us. He wants to surprise us. He wants us to have that growing confidence in him that comes from an experience of being surprised by him in the most unexpected moments. And I had to ask myself as I read this and reflected on the week, is being surprised by the Lord Jesus part of my experience, not just over the past few days, but generally? Do I expect to be surprised by him? Do I want to be surprised by him?